Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Auto Transport Intel. It is Wednesday. It is noon Central Time. That means it's time for DOT compliance with your DOT guy, Brian Riker. We're going to talk about FMCSA regulations, DOT enforcement, and if you've got any question about IFTA, ELD, or gross trailer weight ratings, or CDL. There's a lot of questions out there. Maybe starting a business, you want to talk about insurance. Maybe you have something specific. Maybe you've been to the scale. Maybe you're headed to the scale. Or you know somebody that is and they're going to be maybe in trouble or they have a question. So we have a special episode because Brian is at an airport today. So here's what we're going to do. Do me a favor before we get started. Please leave a like. Thank you so much for doing that. And also you can see right below. You click share, click copy, grab that YouTube link. Send it to a friend. Send a lifeline to a friend. You know, I know, that there's a lot of folks that are either starting a business, growing a business, and you've got questions. I know you have questions. So send it to a friend and help them out. We really want to answer questions. Go ahead and jump in the live chat. It's a 30-minute show, maybe a little bit longer. We'll see. And so let's do this. Let's get to Brian. Brian, can you see me and hear me okay?
Good afternoon, Jay. Yes, I can.
All right. Hey, so you're at an airport.
Yes, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Hopkins Airport.
So if you seem a bit subdued, it's because you're in, are you in a full, like, is your gate full?
Yeah, the gate's pretty full. I'm tucked away in the corner of a food court. It's somewhat empty over here, but there's still a lot of people, a lot of noise in the background.
Okay. All right, that's cool. And you can see the screen because we have some how we doings. You know what's neat, Brian? We talk about how we doing. This segment seems to have, I think a lot of people are identifying with. It's one person sent me an email saying they're seeing like twice a day, like trailers loaded wrong, and they can't. They're thinking how we doing. People are taking photos, sending us stuff. So we have a few how we doings to cover. Then I think we're going to go into some business startup. We have a few business startup questions. We've had some weight rating questions. And then we get into kind of the boring political news, which is you know, ongoing.
All right.
So that's our show.
It's all up on time tonight.
That's right. And you've got a flight to catch. So we'll get this thing moving. Silver Mint says he was in Cleveland yesterday.
I'm sorry.
In fact, Silver Mint says he was in Cleveland tucked away in the corner of a food court. Okay. Well, let's do this then. Let's do... you know, guys, I like to kick it off with some graphics. This is the show where we bet that you can't stump Brian. Our hope is that you jump in the live chat, and if you're on the podcast, thank you so much. Jump in the live chat and ask a stumper. See if we can stump Brian with a DOT FMCSA stumper.
I love that picture from you.
I know. It is amazing. It actually is amazing. It's magic. Thank you, David. This is how a trucker prepares for a hurricane.
But he forgot his edge protectors on the straps. I mean, he's going to cut his straps when the house blows away.
Oh, dude. That's too bad. Well, we'll look for the update on that. So let's go into... By the way, mic check 1, 2, 3. How we doing? Let's go to camera 1. Mic check. I think we're okay. But I know the audio fluctuates a little bit. Don't know why. That's all right. All right, here we go. How we doing? This is where we talk about proper distribution of weight when you load your trailer. It's sad and funny. First comes the tragedy, then comes the comedy. When you get the insurance bill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we're trying to help save people. We do not want how we doing out there, but it is out there. So let's start with this. We're going to start with the easy, and we're going to move into the difficult. How we doing here, Brian? What do we got?
Well, he's got a, I think they call that the Max 6. He's pulling it with a full-size semi, so that's a good start. Let's see. Three axles, single tire. He's probably not overweight. The Ram up top, I'm not quite sure how tall that will turn out to be. That would be my biggest concern with this style trailer right here. But it doesn't look like it can go down too much.
That's the thing. What we're looking at is, for the podcast, rear right tire on a Ram on the upper back spot is, I don't think, is that strapped? I don't think it's strapped.
Oh, I'm glad you pointed that out. I missed that. I hadn't gotten there.
Yeah, well,
no, I do not see
the airport. Strap. No strap.
So that's a violation of industry standard, which is four straps. Technically, it's not a DOT violation if he has a strap up on the right front wheel. That pickup truck is under 10,000, so you can secure a wheel vehicle under 10,000 pounds with a minimum.
I'm
going to
cut to camera one. It feels like we're in an episode of 1984, the TV series, because Brian is trying to describe a potential business issue, and we've got COVID alerts at the airport.
That came over my audio. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I don't have my normal headset either, so I'm on an open mic today.
It's all good. What's up, Carlos? So just repeat if you would. Industry standard.
The Transportation Security Administration.
Oh, let's. We've got more. You know.
We've got COVID in Espanol.
You can't plan this.
For further information.
Okay. Short answer: industry standard is four wheels. Minimum, as required by federal regulation, is at least two opposite corners of the vehicle for wheeled vehicles under 10,000 pounds. So if the straps are in good shape and there is one installed in the right front corner, he could technically be legal. Are you asking for some trouble? Absolutely.
I think he's playing the two opposing. But,
yes.
But as you can see from the other vehicles, I mean, there's definitely room for more straps.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is, let's do the minimum we can and go, and that makes no sense to me.
Well, he might not be making enough money to afford straps, which, you know, brings up another issue. Here's another shot, and you can see there is a strap on that opposing right tire. So it is there.
That makes it technically legal, even if it's not the best practice.
Right. And that's why we like to say, even though you can do it, we're not so sure you should. Let's go to another. Here's another how we doing. Now, this is what we're seeing a lot of. This is the classic how we doing.
That trailer's a little more stable than your traditional wedge, but still. One vehicle up top, nothing behind it. That trailer is a rollover waiting to happen, going into a corner too fast.
And that is what you want to try to avoid. Let's see here. So then, okay. Fritz sent this in this morning. What is going on here?
Either the vehicle was not strapped down properly, or I'm going to assume, since he's in the center turn lane of a multi-lane highway, he was loading or unloading at a dealership and missed the trailer, jumped over the edge with that truck. And yeah, that could have been really bad. It could have rolled off and destroyed it. That looks like a brand new Ram. So I'm going to say he probably was trying to come off the trailer and either lurched forward, turned the knob on those in the wrong direction, or misjudged going on, something like that. So that's what I'm going to say looks like it happened there.
Right. It looks like the tow truck is there, so they're trying to put Sally back on the cupcake.
Yeah. Yeah, the tow truck, if he does his job right. Now, they've got the other lane closed. I don't know why he's on the far side of that. It looks like they got the entire road closed for this. That tow truck could pull up alongside of him in the same lane, pick up the front with a sling off of the tow hooks behind the bumper, scoot his boom out a teeny bit, set him right back down square on the trailer, and away it would go. So I think this guy dodged a bullet and didn't do any serious serious damage to that truck, but it's a good reminder to be absolutely certain you have it in forward, not reverse, and that you know where your tires are on the ramps.
And on this, how we doing? Well, we ain't making any money.
Oh, no. That tow bill is going to take probably his entire day, if not his entire week's worth of profit away.
Sucks. Here's another one from Fritz. What is going on here?
Well, if he drives it another 3 foot forward and straps it down, he now can have overhang because he'll have cargo on the cab of the tractor.
Right on. Hello, Missouri.
Again, that's a Camaro, probably high output motor, and a heavy foot on the throttle trying to creep it right up to the very edge of the trailer. And I bet you he bumped it just a little too hard and jumped from the front of his trailer right to parking it on the roof of his Ram pickup truck.
He's now got a Mini 6.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
Somebody forgot to put the ramps down when they went to drive off the trailer, or that's got salvage writing in it. Something failed after Copart or IAA set that on the top deck of that trailer before the guy went to strap it down. I'm looking. You've got some straps laying loose there. Maybe he went to unstrap it, didn't have his ramps out, and it was never in neutral, and it just took off rolling on him. As you can obviously see that there are no ramps deployed.
It was like that when I bought it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Fortunately, that has front end damage, so he'll probably get away with it.
Probably not. Some people are like, you know, that was the part I wanted. That's why I bought it.
Well, you'd be surprised. I used to teach salvage transport for Copart when they had their private fleet, and you'd be surprised how many times we had to yell at our drivers not to drag the bumper cover on the ground.
I know.
That might be what they bought the car for, is it had a perfect front or rear clip in it, and then the guy goes to deliver it, and he's tore up the front end.
And then, you know, because I love it when they're like, we get the dispatch, and it's barely a run and drive or whatever it is. And they're like, yeah, make sure you throw all the parts in the back seat. I'm thinking, really? Okay. Let's see here. Okay, now this was a video. And I broke it into frames so we could look at it because the video kind of goes real fast. All right, so here's our first frame. We have an officer on scene. And, right, we got our dually. What's our setup here?
Ram, maybe 35, 4500 dually, and either a 2 or 3 car wedge trailer with probably a Ram 25 or 1500 up on the nose of it, of the trailer, and nothing behind it, and straight in a travel lane. Looks like he made a turn and the trailer started to flip over and got hung up. Okay, so that's the best I can tell from that one.
Yeah. All right, so now the rest. The rest are all just still frames of the same thing. So there we go. Now, we have breakage up here. It's hard to see. But What do you think happened up here?
Too much stress from being overloaded on the top and it twisted off, or the conversion from the gooseneck to the fifth wheel wasn't installed right. That looks like a Ritchie Brothers auction sticker on the side of the trailer. Maybe they bought the trailer at auction and didn't notice that it had pre-existing damage. Maybe it was a previously rolled over a wrecked trailer and had some poor quality repair.
Interesting. All right, we keep moving. Okay, now there's the vehicle.
I'll give him props for securing that pickup truck well. Right. It didn't slide off.
Which is so interesting. That's a common thing we see. The vehicle's secure and everything else is jacked.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you it's a Kaufman trailer by the logo in the toolbox door.
Right.
So, yeah, he had hitch failure. Probably not brought on by that one particular pickup truck being up there, but just a lifetime of fatigue on that trailer. It's like the paperclip effect. When you overload something, it doesn't break the first time, but you keep doing it, and eventually the metal fatigues, and it fails when you least expect it.
And that could be what he's thinking. Man, I should have bought new. Or whatever, you know. I knew I got a good deal on this trailer.
this is not the end of the world here, though, because it didn't roll over.
Yes.
Cargo's not damaged. His pickup truck will drive away once they flip it back down on the wheels and unhook it. So you got a minor recovery bill and a tow bill to get your trailer off the middle of the road, and a fab bill to fix it, and a pickup box. Or maybe now you're going to be a cabin chassis.
And now, and also the reminder of what do we need to do with our load? How are we doing?
We need to move the load lower on the trailer. That load should not have been up there whatsoever. The whole trailer is empty.
Nothing back here.
Yeah. Yeah, that load should have been back over the axles, and this would not have happened at that moment.
And there you go. There's the teaching moment. Now, here's worst case scenario. One killed, one injured after car hauler detaches from pickup truck north of Phoenix. Did you hear about this one?
No, I did not. Oh, that's a shame.
So, I can't understand this picture. Can you explain? What do you think you see here? Is that...
Well, that
yeah.
That looks like a wedge trailer. I bet you that Ford pickup truck we can see behind it was on the trailer at one time and came off in the crash. So if the trailer detached, I'm going to say most likely there was a hitch or a coupling system failure. Obviously, something failed for it to detach, but I'm going to say probably the gooseneck on the front of the trailer broke, or the hitch was improperly secured, built, installed on the truck, something like that. And the problem with the gooseneck and fifth wheel in a pickup truck, the safety chains normally go right back down to the same plate in the bed that the hitch is on. So if that is what failed, there's no secondary attachment to keep the trailer with the truck, which is a risk we run even with a tractor trailer, because that fifth wheel plate has no form of secondary attachment other than neck and jaw. But this is a good reminder to always inspect your equipment every day, every time you stop, when you walk around.
Oh, yeah, right. So pre-inspection may have caught something.
Oh, yeah, because unfortunately, trailers falling off are nothing new. They happen every day in the regular semi-truck world. Guys drop trailers. They call it a high hook. They don't get it closed in the fifth wheel right, and then it falls off going down the road. This, unfortunately, is an everyday occurrence. We just don't hear about it with the hotshot world that often.
And back on this one, Silver Mint asks in the live chat, would a fifth wheel hitch prevented the rollover?
It depends on where it broke. If you were pointing out damage on the trailer, no, because the gooseneck and fifth wheel have a similar attachment to the trailer. But if the hitch actually broke in the bed, possibly. Fifth wheels do help prevent rollover of your trailer. They are more stable than a ball gooseneck. So it's possible, but I'd need much more detailed pictures to give you any type of definite answer there.
Let's move on to getting started. I'm trying to figure out my next step in the process of starting my own car hauling company. I'll be the owner-operator. I do not plan on having anyone work with me soon. I'll be using a tractor trailer, one-ton pickup, three-car wedge. I got a medical card, Class A CDL. I just need to know what steps to follow. Do I need to set up an LLC, get a DOT? Does IFTA apply to pickup trucks? I know I've got a long way to go with all the legalities. I just need pointed in the right direction. I already have a dealer helping me with in the process, but they buy cars from out of state. So what requirements do I need for out of state hauling? I appreciate your help.
This could be a whole series of shows in itself.
Right, I know.
To answer the question, no, you do not need an LLC to get your DOT number. You can do it as a sole proprietor in your own personal name. The LLC, when you are a single member, it doesn't really provide any legal protection for you. It just allows you to pick out a cool business name. So no, you do not need an LLC, but it doesn't hurt if you get one. IFTA may apply to pickup trucks and trailers if you're over 26,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating. So you got to look at the weight rating of your truck and your trailer. You don't specify that in here. You have to do everything else minus the drug testing, unless, of course, you're over 26,000. So if you need to use that Class A CDL you have, then IFTA will apply, drug testing will apply. Otherwise, all the other driver qualification, background investigation, DOT and MC number do apply. And since you say you're going to be hauling across state lines, you absolutely have to have unified carrier, UCR registration, and you have to have a US DOT with MC authority. And again, if it's over 26,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating, you will have to have a portion registration and your IFTA, your fuel taxes. That's the basics of what you would need to get started.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Hey, I want to add my fiance under my company name. Remember this one?
Yes. Again, I need a little more information. Does he want to add her as a legal owner of the company? Maybe just drug testing administrator, maybe just a manager. The process varies. If your company is a corporation, you have to make her an officer.
The fever, cough, or shortness of breath. Go home immediately. Yeah. Isolate yourself from others.
Yeah,
hold on. I figure I'll just wait for it.
Yeah. We're going to pause for COVID alerts in the airport. What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in on the live chat.
Additional information.
Saying hello here today on a Wednesday. We weren't here last week, so it's good to be back. All right.
Yes,
Brian.
Yes, it is. So this one I can't give you any real answer to without more information on business structure and what exactly they're trying to accomplish. And if I remember this, I don't think the guy even got back to our email when we posted that.
Well, and I tell you what, you know, the best thing, I just came up with a new meme idea. Where you'll have a guy with a ring and he's bending on one knee and it says, "Will you be my car hauling business co-owner?" I mean, cause I'm trying to, as I look into this, as I go with the dark side, and I look into this, what's going on? You're not even married. This is a fiat.
You'd be surprised how many people come to me and they want authority, but it's got to be in the girlfriend's name because she's got the credit or she doesn't have the criminal record or whatnot. And you do not do anything like this until you're married together. You don't play house. Just go get married. Then
go get married.
Yeah.
It's actually an interesting point. If you're going to do this, go ahead and just get married.
Oh, yeah, because you put her on all the stuff legally. There is no separation then at that point.
And I actually, when I was a dispatcher, I worked for a lady who basically was running the trucking company that her husband used to. He was the car hauler. She just owned it now.
I know a few of them.
Yeah. It's tough. It's not. I don't really. Again, this is the comedy tragedy part of me. I'm finding comedy in tragedy because it is tragic, and what sucks too is that you get the bad credit and the bad record or whatever, and then it leads you down the path of you're just trying to be a business owner and start over, but all those things won't let you. So it's tough. It's really, really hard. Hey, this one's interesting. Zeb Frank says, if you have an auto transport business, you need to either get manifest auto liability or non-owned auto liability. This is insurance to be able to drive the vehicle to and from your carrier. Cargo insurance only applies when said vehicle's on your carrier. I thought, man, this one's a great one for Brian. Brian, what's going on here?
He is absolutely correct because cargo applies when it is on the truck. Some cargo policies in auto transport will cover it if it's right immediately next to your truck and you're just driving it up the ramp. But to go from that truck lot into the auction, or the auction to the truck lot, or from the street into the dealership's parking lot, your cargo does not cover that. And especially if you're out on a public road, it will not cover anything. And I mean, technically, we can't legally drive these cars without plates from the three lane in the middle of a road across the public road into the dealership lot. But we do it every day. So yeah, Zeb's absolutely right. You need manifest auto or non-owned auto liability so that you're covered while you're operating that. And I'll expand upon this. Make sure when you have helpers with you, they're listed on your policy as a driver. Otherwise, if they're the one driving the car when they wreck it, you're not covered.
And so how interesting is it that I don't think this really gets talked about?
No, it doesn't. Most people assume their cargo or their general liability or their umbrella policy, which umbrella policies are fairly useless in trucking, but they assume that is going to cover them for all of their business operations. This is where you need to keep your insurance agent in the loop, explain to them what you do. This is one of the things where some insurance companies will say, well, we can't insure that part of car hauling operations, so you can't do that if the car is brought right to the back of your truck, or you can't bring your truck to where the car is to load it, we can't insure you for it. The same thing if you bring them back and set them down, you rent a parking spot and you unload them off of your truck because you're going to take the truck over to get serviced and can't have cars on it. Well, those cars may or may not be covered if you don't have some sort of commercial property insurance, garage keeper legal liability, something for warehousing. Those cars sitting over in your rented parking spot get vandalized or stolen, you may be on the hook for the value of a car.
Silverman's got a question in the live chat. Do I need a New York authority under 26K?
New York DMV number? Authority, if you're running point to point.
Hold on, we got a COVID alert. Hang on, everybody. Grab your masks, tuck your head, get under a desk. We need you to roll. We want to see lots of rolling. We want everybody to roll. Okay, so we want you to put your head at the end of a hallway and your feet, and everybody roll with your masks on. Then tuck your... Oh, it's over? Okay, back to...
Okay, we got 3 minutes, and then I have to run for my gate. Short answer, New York operating authority, if you're New York domiciled, so you're based in New York State, and you're doing any point-to-point work within the state of New York, yes, you need a New York DMV number. Now, if you're talking about the New York Highway Use Tax, the HUT sticker, then yes, that applies under 26,000. That applies at 18,000 pounds, unless you're considered a truck trailer, tractor trailer, I mean, so take the bed off, then it applies at 8,000 pounds. So either way, the New York State authority applies to you as well if you're based in New York and going point to point in New York State.
Fantastic. And I even put in, if you have more, if you need follow-up and you need Brian's help, you know, you can send him an email on air at yourdotguide.com. I also put in fleetcompliancesolutions.net. If you need to hire Brian, that's his business. Carlos asks, and we're almost done, at what weight do you need to get a Kentucky KYU sticker?
55. It's actually just a number you register with them. 55,000 pounds and above. So if you have to file, well, if you had to file your IRS Form 2290 by yesterday, then you would also need a KYU registration if you operate in or through the state of Kentucky.
And if you're at the scales and you messed up, how are we doing? All you're going to need is KY.
You said that with a perfect straight face.
I practice. I'll tell you what. I know we got to let you go. We'll get to boring political stuff next week. Brian, man, thank you so much. I'm sorry I missed you last week. So glad that we're back on track. We've got normalcy next week. I think I have another day this... I think there's a day in September where I'm not going to be around, but I'll keep you posted on that. Otherwise, have a great flight, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, everybody. Sorry I've got to run, but the flight boards now.
All right. Well, you better tuck, duck, and roll while you've got
time. If they weren't delayed, you were going to be seeing this in the last row of an airplane. But
exactly.
All right, everybody. Peace.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Okay, bye.